Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
3:05, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is Friday Eve, and it's cold. I don't care what anybody says. It's chilly and... And I'm straight here from the doctor. So if I sound heavily medicated or not nearly medicated enough, there you go. Where do you want to start? Oh, my God. Gosh, where do you want to sit? There's just so much. I remind you that my buddy Congressman Rob Whitman's going to be here at 4:35. Does a brilliant job of representing the 1st Congressional District in our beloved Commonwealth. I love Rob. I really do. I'm going to be loving my brand new Congressman, John McGuire, after Election Day. I mean, you'll be able to watch. It's not going to be anything bad. I'm just going to give him a big hug because I love the guy. And it'll be great to have him representing the 5th Congressional District of our beloved Commonwealth. That reminds me, Germ, I mean, I'm doing work right here in front of everybody without a net or anything. But we ought to get John on. We haven't had John McGuire on in a while. I am reading a story that 100 members of the British Parliament are now campaigning in America in battleground states for Kamala Harris. Don't you people have enough problems back there in old England? You got 5 years coming with this Sir Keir Starmer dude whose entire message seems to be just giving everybody free stuff. That whole freaking island over there is just going to tip over. There's going to be nothing left. Good time to go in and conquer stuff. Didn't they have conquers? Where's there? At one point they did. I think somebody conquered them. And the good news from the Middle East. Now, this one. Here's where I'm torn. Let me just share this with you. I like to think I'm a relatively good person. And I'm the one who puts the word relatively in front of good. I'm not here to tell you I'm a really, really good guy. I'm a guy who tries to do good stuff. Right? Flawed human being like everybody else, including those people, the narcissists, who are not really aware of the fact that they are flawed, and in some cases, really flawed individuals. I'm just a guy trying to do good stuff. Every once in a while, it works. Every once in a while, it's like, hey, look, I did something good. But I'll never tell you that I am a good guy. I'm just not. I'm just a guy. And I know I'm a guy. Jerm, what's the we got something there, I know, that explains guy and gal, right?
Boys have a penis. Girls have a vagina.
Exactly. That's exactly correct. And I remind my... I took a shower. I reminded myself of that. Yes, that's why I'm a guy, and occasionally I'm good. Okay, fair enough. But I'm looking at the situation in the Middle East. Israel has eliminated... What's-his-face Sinwar? Was it Yahya Sinwar or Wawa Sinwar? Who gives a crap? He's dead. Dead as a freaking doornail. And I know there's that part of me that wants to say, oh, this is great. I'm kvelling, as we would say in Yiddish. Happy, thrilled, excited. And then there's a part of me going, oh, come on, Jeff. You can't really... Can you really celebrate the death of someone? And I pondered that for a couple of moments. I pondered that while I was... I unplugged... The whole radio station for, what, like 30 seconds, Jerm? Well, my radio station. And anyway, so I was pondering that, and I thought, well, yeah, yes, I can. And I am celebrating that Mr. Sinwar, as we speak right now, is burning in hell. That's awful. No, I don't think it is. I will consult with my rabbi and your rabbi and a minister and a priest, anybody else you want to bring into the conversation. But I think I am allowed to celebrate that. Maybe that is another strike against me being a good guy. But I think I am allowed to celebrate that this despicable murderer slaughtered 1,300 innocent people in Israel. Why? Because they were Jews. And in fact, some of them weren't Jews. But he didn't care. They were in Israel. That was enough for him. And now he's you know, he's getting used to having, like singed eyebrows or something, I guess. I don't know. You know, it's weird because, like, Jews don't believe in hell in the same way that the Christian community believes in hell, for the most part. And in this case, I'm totally on board with the whole idea of the Christian version of hell, with fire and screaming and pain and all. Seriously, he deserves it. He absolutely deserves it. But I digress. I'll take some of the confetti away. Yeah, 100 socialist members of Britain's House of Commons are now campaigning for Kamala Harris in swing states. First of all, isn't that illegal? You know, I'm not a lawyer, and it involves Brits, and I'm not a solicitor, nor am I a barrister. You know, oh, God, we should reach out to Joe Moreno. He's all of the above. The smartest lawyer on God's green earth, my buddy, former federal prosecutor. Joe Moreno, yeah, seriously, he's not just a lawyer here in the United States. He is a solicitor and a barrister in the United Kingdom. Oh, he would know. Except it would be our laws, right? They don't have any laws. I'm sure they're happy to let their people go putzing around and stuff around the world. But it's us. I don't want them putzing around here. We got enough putzes involved in the putzing around process. I don't need them here. I really don't. But I think there's something illegal about it. I'll look into it as best I can and try and figure out if there's something illegal about that. And does it matter? Last night, we had our politics and pints. And you know what's weird? We still can't figure out whether it was the 9th one or the 8th one. So the next one will either be the 9th one or the 10th one. But I'm backstage, and I'm in the green room. So let me just paint the picture. Kilmeade gets off a plane, right? So he's coming right to the event. Everybody forgets that there's actual traffic on 95. And I don't know that he spent enough time in Hopewell to know about 295. I don't know. He's got a GPS like everybody else. So he comes in. He's not wearing a tie. So immediately I start, you know, breaking his agates about, where's your tie? It's like a grown-up event, dude. And he comes over and he hugs me. And it was very nice. And we shared a few, you know, quiet moments together. And then we're just sort of chatting and talking about stuff. He says, oh, we got to pull up like the feed at 6 o'clock for Bret Baier with Kamala Harris. Oh, yeah, totally forgot about that. I really had. I had totally forgotten about it. Why? Well, because I was driving down to the historic Beacon Theater in Hopewell. I got the music cranked. Ordinarily, in the car, I'm listening to speaking. Right, I love my podcasts. I really do. I absolutely, positively love them. And I've got a very odd podcast selection process and an odd list of favorites on my podcast list, what I'm listening to. I listen to a lot of crime stuff, the true crime stuff. And every time I'm listening to them, you know, I'm thinking to myself, you know, my buddy John Purgett does a much better job of reporting stuff like that. And then I go back to listening to it. But anyway, so I'm listening to it. And ordinarily it would be that, or maybe some other sort of true crime, like scandal thing. I never listen to political podcasts. Isn't that weird? None. And I think part of it is that this is my job. You know what I mean? This is what I do for a living. It's part of what I do for a living. It pays some of the bills. So I don't listen to that. I want to get away from that. And last night, heading to the Beacon Theater, I want to get amped up a little bit. And I don't want to get amped up on, oh, there's a serial killer loose and blah, blah, blah. So I'm listening to music. And the other thing in my podcast list, theology stuff. Isn't that bizarre? I'm listening to true crime, serial killers, killing serial. I mean, if you can imagine it, I'm listening to it. Anybody who would look at my phone and go, oh, this guy needs help. And he might be a suspect in something somewhere. Who knows? But I'm listening to those normally, and I'm listening to all sorts of theology things. And a lot of classes. I do a lot of pre-recorded classes, as you know, because I'm not nearly as smart or educated as I need to be. That'll never end. I think the moment you stop doing that, then you've kind of lost. I think you've always got to invest in yourself. I really do believe that. And you've got to have enough confidence in yourself to invest in yourself. If you're stuck in the, oh, well, if I lose this job, I'm never going to eat again. Well, okay, then you're kind of a slave that way. Just what it is. But anywho, So I'm listening to some music. I got it cranked, and I'm excited, and we had a great crowd. I think at 720, 725, whatever it was sold out. Absolutely sold out. And I thought it was a pretty good production. I did. I thought it was okay. I think we all had a good time. And it was very nice because there's so many great people there. I'm always so happy when I look at the list of sponsors. I'm looking at. I always look at the list of sponsors, the presenting sponsors at Politics and Pints, and I'm always so happy to say that the vast majority of them are mine. I think one or two are not, and that's about it. But I mean, they're good people too, but. Obviously, the people that are part of this program are far better, and I'm always happy about that. So we had a great crowd. We really did. And if you missed it, oh, I don't want you to get involved in the whole FOMA thing, right? FOMA, fear of missing. Oh, FOMO. I don't know what FOMA is. I think that's a dessert topping. FOMO, fear of missing out. But you really should have a fear of missing out because I'm telling you, you're missing a lot, and you don't want to miss it. The next time we do this, you should be there. But we got so much that that we did, and I've got so much I'm going to cover today. And yet, my point was that in the back, about, I don't know, 5:30 or so, when Kilmeade came tripping in, we were just standing there talking about all of this. And we're going back and forth, and, you know, like, we're putting on our game faces, right? First we started, we're talking about hockey, the important stuff. Then we turned to this and put our game faces on, and we were all ready to go. And he's pulling up stats and all sorts of information. Well, look, I was looking at this thing. I was looking at that read, blah, 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 blah. And the bottom line is. I'm just getting a very important email message. That's OK. So we're looking at all these numbers coming in. And, you know, it's all swing states, right? And like 6-7 states going to decide everything for all of us. And Donald Trump is really doing well. And Kamala Harris was going to sit down with Bret Baier. You know, Bret Baier had this reputation amongst conservatives. Oh, he's a never-Trumper. He hates Trump. He hates Trump. This is going to be a softball, blah, blah, blah. Well, you can say whatever you want, man. I thought he did a great job. I really do. I thought he did a great job. And he didn't have to do much because she was in a... She was in a mode. Her people obviously had said, look, we're showing up late. We may have to leave early. You've only got to fill like 12, 13 minutes. I'm here to tell you, I can do 13 minutes on a sandwich and not miss a beat. She can't do 13 seconds on herself and get it right. And I don't know if she thought that she was going to have one of those viral moments because she clearly had memorized stuff. That's what she does. She memorizes stuff. She's good at memorizing. She should be, you know, some second-rate science fiction actress or actor or production person or whatever. That's what she should do. She'd be great at it, I think. She could play a Klingon. She could play a Klingon. She'd get away with it. But she blew it. She was looking for the viral moment. She blew it. And Bret Baier, God bless him. I thought he did a great job. So there you go. All right. Congressman Rob Whitman, 435. Our buddy Brian Maloney. It's never phony with Brian Maloney, that's for sure. Brian is an astute observer of this. I want to get his sense of the Kamala Harris fiasco last night. And yes, because I do need a chuckle today, I will share some of her comments from last night right here. It's going to be great. 316, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. 4, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. Taking a look at some of the great texts already coming in on the Chronic Care of Richmond text line, 833-804-1140. One of those says, Jeff, did you really unplug something and take your whole radio operation there off the air? I did. Now, you didn't know that. I just disconnected myself because I knocked a power plug out and didn't know that. Yeah, it happens, right? Do you know... There's an old radio story. You need to be aware of this. There was a guy in New York City. The guy's name was Herb Oscar Anderson, right? He was known as the morning mayor. He was the most listened to morning radio guy in New York, legendary WABC. And WABC is this gigantic, it's always been a gigantic radio station. And in fact, the guy that owns it now, John Katzimatidis, he's a greengrocer. Seriously, that was his business. Had a whole slew of grocery stores throughout New York. Made himself a lot of money. He's a self-made billionaire, immigrant to the country, the whole deal. Anyway, so he bought the radio station. He's doing really well. But I mention that because in the morning, the highest paid radio guy on the most important radio station anywhere in America had an electric razor. And he used to plug it in. And for about, I don't know, I think it was about a week or 2 weeks, every morning at, I don't know, 8, 8:15, whatever it was, the entire radio, all of WABC would go off the air for like 4 or 5 minutes. And the engineers are scrambling and they're sure something's going on. It's a military invasion. It was him. He unplugged something, plugged his electric razor in, knocked the whole Megillah off the air. And so I think to this day, if you go into the WABC facilities up there in New York, you'll see on a wall near the outlets, don't unplug anything. It's very, very, very important stuff. It really is. All right. Now, listen, we've got a lot of really fantastic stuff that we're going to be dealing with as we head through the afternoon. And I'm not going to give you all of the Bret Baier, Kamala Harris stuff. I'm sure you've heard it throughout the day and it's out there. But there are one or two that I do want to focus on. I want you to have an especially meaningful relationship with just a couple of things that were said. Our pal Brian Malone is going to join us at 3:35. You know Brian's going to have a lot to say about that little interaction last night. Congressman Rob Whitman will be here at 4:35. 3:28, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. 3:35, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. The mortgage rates are going up. Only Kamala Harris and Joe Biden could figure out a way to cut the interest rates via the Fed and have mortgage rates increase. I'm telling you, we have never, ever seen anything like this. Now, God willing, in 19 days, our long national nightmare will be coming to an end. Don't forget, though, after Kamala Harris loses, dear God, please let Kamala Harris lose. And it's got to be a big enough margin that Donald Trump wins that our friends on the other side can't engage in their usual shenanigans. But having said all of that, let's just say she loses.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
We're all happy. We're just sort of thinking, okay, well, we got to get through the next couple of months, right? Going to be November the 5th. We just have to make it through January the 20th when Donald Trump and his stuff move back into the Oval Office. That's all we have to do. That's all we have to do is make it that far. But you got to remember something. We have to make it that far. So let's just say, for the sake of argument, Kamala Harris loses. Now, I know what you're saying, Jeff. Don't you want to say that Donald Trump wins? Well, I do. But there, again, there's that part of me. I'm a guy who's trying to do good things, but it doesn't mean I'm a good guy. So I just feel better reminding everybody that Kamala Harris loses. It's a little bit like talking about Hillary Clinton when you say, oh, yeah, she's not president, is she? No, she's not. I just don't hear you say that. So I'm saying she loses. But then the hard work begins for Joe Biden. It does. He's got to get the pardon together for his moron son, Fredo. He's got to figure out whether any of the other unindicted members of La Cosa Nostra are going to be needing any sort of pardons. It's not going to be easy for him. Plus, he's got to work in a nap and a visit to a beach. Only they could cut the rates. via the Fed and have mortgage rates go up. Absolute bat crap craziness. I want to remind you that Congressman Rob Whitman is going to be with us at 4:35. Love Rob. He does a great job. He really does. I'm looking forward to chatting with him. All right, Brian Maloney has joined us. You know, Brian's been joining us on each and every Friday Eve leading up to the election. And doing a great job observing things. Number one, Brian, I appreciate you being here. Number two, just how much popcorn did you consume last night watching Kamala Harris? That's what I want to know.
That and to your point about the rates going higher when the Fed cut rates, it's the bond market saying, we don't believe you people. We see inflation is still running rampant out there. We don't believe your fake government numbers. And that's what's going on there. So rates go higher. The markets speak and the government is behind the curve, and they're trying to push things the other way. And by the way, they made that 50 basis point cut to help Harris, and it didn't help. It backfired. So that's the good news, Jeff.
That is good news. Of course, with 19 days left to go, there's still plenty of room for all sorts of hijinks and shenanigans, right? There's bad stuff that they can still pull out of their hat.
And they will. Yeah. And I think that's what everyone's dreading. We know it will be a roller coaster ride between now and then. And the thing I'm cautioning everybody on right now, because, you know, last night was a really good feeling, because we can get to in a second, because obviously she blew it last night. But the bottom line here is, you know, and I dig through these polls that, give me migraines, but consistently, and even in Virginia and a number of states, almost every state, there's 5 to 7 to 8% of the electorate is still up for grabs. Yeah. They are still undecided, sometimes 10%. And you have to ask yourself, you know, who are these people that haven't made up their minds by now? But they're out there, and they're more common than you think, and they can swing things one way or another. So if you think any of this is over yet, it's not. And you just say, well, there's early voting, blah, 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 blah. So, you know, is an election day just a formality? Nope. Nope. We will be fighting this till the last second on election night.
So here's what I got to ask you, and I want to remind everybody, Brian Maloney, the media equalizer, is joining us. I've been a fan of Brian's work for, I don't know, 20 years or thereabouts. You dive into all this stuff. And you're doing the proverbial cross tabs, right? That explains to you why somebody is or is not where they are or where they're not. So you're talking about 7% of the population is still, at this point, undecided. I'm thinking, well, those are people that are crazy, or they don't read, or they don't live on planet Earth. What are the real reasons that they are not sure yet which way they're voting?
Well, I think for one thing, some of these people are in new groups that, you know, are just starting to kind of move over toward Trump and Republicans, you know, in recent years, like some Hispanics, but also just so there are always a lot of moderates, you know, and there, I mean, you think, well, isn't this very, very clear? Well, a lot of, you know, not a lot of people, but some people don't have especially firm views. They don't follow politics that closely. You know, I mean, it's hard to completely get into their minds, but they're voting for their own needs. They're voting for their own self-interest, which they should do. That's what everyone should do when they vote. Right. Vote for, you know, the right. That's how this works.
That's right.
I mean, will you be able to afford food after the election? That's how you go in and vote, you know. Will you be, you know, these are obvious things. So there's some of that. And, you know, don't forget, the rest of us kind of forget this, because most of us tune out these horrible dinosaur media networks now, these TV networks. Yep. You know, we're not watching the NBC Nightly News anymore, right? But some of these people still are, and they are hearing the propaganda every day. So that's how some of these people end up on the fence.
Oh, my gosh. Well, the play last night, Brian, was that Kamala Harris knows, and her team knows, hey, there are plenty of people who, if you just describe the Donald Trump policies, would say, oh, yeah, I'm on board, but throw his name into the mix, and now they're like, eh, I don't know, you know, mean orange guy with the bad tweets. So this was her chance to go, and somehow get them. She was not playing to me. She wasn't playing to you. She wasn't even playing to her own base. She was playing to those undecideds who would love to vote for the policies, but they're not sure about the person. Did she come anywhere close to getting them last night?
No, it completely backfired. And what she should have done is really along the lines of what you said, extend an olive branch to the other side and say, hey, you know, I know there's some people that I know most of you watching right now are not my biggest fans or whatever, but I will be present for all people and all of America, and I will help work to help everybody. And, you know, once elected, we're not going to be worrying about partisanship. We're going to be worrying about moving the country forward. She could have had a chance to do that and come across as likable, come across as confident. Instead, she came across as defensive, argumentative, insecure, just in over her head, which has been the theme this entire time. The woman is in over her head. Yep. And there's, I don't think, you know, you've worked in campaigns. I've worked in campaigns. I mean, the bottom line is you could be the best campaign advisors on the planet, but if you have a fundamentally bad candidate, you cannot fix that. You cannot fix that. And what they teach you, you know, is just move on to a different campaign. But they would have jettisoned her last night. I'm telling you, Nancy Pelosi, Hillary Clinton, they would have dumped her last night if it weren't so late.
Well, how late is it? 19 days left? Could we have yet another?
Are you really saying we'd dump her? Okay, maybe. I mean, if you're desperate enough, but they are desperate enough, because if you look at it right now, I mean, what changes? And, you know, okay, you can have your October surprise bombshells or whatever, but the problem is people are still sitting there scratching their heads over what she believes and what she would do. And any kind of concrete, specific policy. Now, you and I know she's a Marxist and she's hiding that. But I'm saying, you know, the voter out there scratching their head, like, well, what will she do? And they're not getting that because she can't articulate it or won't.
Well, thank God, Brian, she has such strong support and a competent running mate in Tim Walz. I mean, he'll pick up the end of it, and it all... Well, we have another 19 days to deal with it. Brian, I want everybody to be following what my dear friend, the media equalizer, is doing. You remind everybody, please, how they do that.
Sure. Yes, it is facebook.com/media equalizer. One word, media equalizer, facebook.com. You just go straight to our page, and we'd love to have you there.
I love it. Thank you, my friend. That is Brian Maloney. It is 3:45. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. 3:52, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is Friday Eve, and it's chilly. I don't know how to tell you that. It's chilly. Our buddy, Congressman Rob Whitman, is going to be along at 4:35. Looking forward to that. We got a lot of good stuff coming up next week, and I'm not sure if I'm allowed to reveal all of it, but just stay close. That's all I can tell you. Stay very, very, very close. 804, checking in on the Chronic Care of Richmond text line, 833-804-1140, 833-804-1140. Jeff, hashtag 1776, all these Brits coming over to campaign for Kamala Harris. We kicked their ass before. We can do it again. Well, that's true. That's true. But it's, you know, it's, I mean, is it really going to be rewarding to kick the rear end of the once British Empire? There's no empire left. But what's happening is all these socialist office holders are coming over to campaign for Kamala Harris. Maybe they think her nonsense makes more sense if it's said with an accent. Maybe that's what it is. 804, Jeff, kudos to Brett Baer from Fox News for exposing Kamala Harris's true colors, dirty like muddy water. Yeah, I Kamala Harris's problem is that she can't tell you what she actually believes. And part of it is because she's a hardcore socialist and she wants nothing but government control. Now, sometimes she breaks character and says that to people, you know, in different settings. It's a little bit like playing a villain in a movie or a TV show, right? Or you know, look, I used to work in pro wrestling. I loved being the heel. Ah, the bad guy? Way better lines. Lots of fun stuff. So maybe that's it. 757, Jeff, I have to agree with you about that Sinwar character. There is one thing, however, you need to know about hell. There are no unbelievers there. Yeah, I would imagine that Sinwar is right about now reevaluating some of his prior positions. John from New Kent is checking in on the Chronic Care of Richmond text line. Jeff, Brett Baer should have asked Harris, why is Biden not on the ballot? When she said Biden was not on the ballot. That would have been a great question. When she said, well, you know, Joe Biden's not on the ballot. That would have been a great question. Well, why isn't he on the ballot? I had to explain that last night. There was somebody, and I forget the gentleman's name, and I apologize, but he said to Howard Gutman, oh, well, explain to me why Kamala Harris is no, or I mean, why Joe Biden is no longer the candidate, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, Howard went off on one of his crazy, goofy, tangent sort of things. Yeah. Anyway, the question with that was answered by yours truly. I said, hey, you want an answer like a six-year-old? That's what the guy said. Yeah, explain it to me like a six-year-old. I said, well, here, spell this out. C-O-U-P. Cool. That's what happened. That's what happened. They realized that Biden was going to lose by a mile. They were desperate. They pitched him right over the edge of the cliff. And they brought his not-ready-for-primetime vice president to the top of the ticket. How's that working out for you? I think it's working out great. But don't get overconfident. Don't get overconfident. That's all I have to say. Tomorrow morning, 6 a.m., my buddy John Reed is going to be here. Please be confident in tuning in to John Reed. You'll be, no, you'll like John. He's a good guy. 356, Jeff Katz, News Radio WRV. 05, Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. It is Friday Eve, and I don't care what anybody says. I think it's cold. It's 62 degrees. You know me. Next. Next stop, Tampa or Tel Aviv? I don't want the temperature ever going below 70. I'm sorry. Said the guy who's sitting here, I kid you not, in a t-shirt and gym shorts. Oh, what a nitwit I am. Do you want to see a great photo of a beautiful young lady in a pumpkin patch? Yeah, you do. So I would urge you, go on Facebook right now, look for Radio Katz, R-A-D-I-O-K-A-T-Z, Radio Katz on Facebook. I am slightly biased because this is a photo of my princess, Julia, and she was, I don't know, she was a little pipsqueak at the time, but it's a great photo, and it's a photo in a pumpkin patch, and a whole bunch of pumpkins, and there's Julia, and she's sitting in her wheelchair, and Heidi had it in rotation. We have like a television that's sort of like a screen saver mode. And Heidi, because she's Heidi, it's seasonal. She does a lot of work. It really does. And so right now we're in the entire fall season. And this is one of the photos that came up. And I said, oh, can you send that to me? Oh, of course I can. Absolutely. And I said, well, I just, you know, I want to share it on Facebook because it's a great photo. And I put it up, and I'm just going to share with you. I looked at it, and I started crying. I know, but I did. I started crying because I thought, wow, this is a beautiful photo because Heidi took it. Heidi is like a world-class photographer. And the photo was great, and the composition is great, and the colors are great, and there's, I don't know, it's just fantastic. But I'm looking at it, and here's this tiny little kid. Has never done anything bad to anybody, right? Never, never. There's not an evil thought in the girl's mind. And she's sitting in this wheelchair. She's strapped in because, well, Julia doesn't know, right? Julia wouldn't know, hey, you're in your wheelchair. Don't go jumping out. Don't go leaning over, right? She doesn't know. And the other thing that struck me as I'm looking at her, and now I personally happen to think that she is beautiful. But I'm looking at it, and the other thing that hit me is that freaking wheelchair. You ever have one of those moments where you think, man, I wish I didn't know how to do that? I wish to this day that I did not know how to assemble and disassemble a wheelchair for a child. It is one of those skills. I would give up that skill for anything. It is not the skill that I was ever hoping to have. But anyway, it is a good photo. I think it. I don't want you to cry like I did, but it's just a nice photo. It's just a nice. Hey, we're in the fall time. We got 2 weeks or so till Halloween. We got Thanksgiving coming up. Hanukkah and Christmas are on the way, and I don't know this year if Hanukkah's first or Christmas is first. You know, we work on a different calendar. We got that whole lunar calendar going on. So that's why when we were observing the one-year anniversary of October 7th, I had people reaching out to me going, wait a minute, didn't you tell me about something? You guys were celebrating some holiday last year when this all happened, so that's this holiday now? No, that holiday is not actually happening for another 3 weeks. It's very difficult to explain. But I think the photo that's up there, you'll appreciate. And let me know if you agree with me that Heidi is just an absolutely world-class photographer. She won't believe me. I'm looking at our Chronic Care of Richmond text line, 833-804-1140, 833-804-1140. When I talk about Chronic Care of Richmond, obviously talking about Janine Snyder, Brian Snyder, the whole gang, they're great people. And they've been bringing politics and pints to us for the last couple politics and pints, right? Big time title sponsor. They make sure we've got our text line available to us. It's always great stuff on the text line. Here's a question. Harold in Short Pump says, hey, Jeff, I had a great time at Politics and Pints last night. I have a question for you, though. Does Howard really believe the things that he says? He seems sincere, but he also seems to be of at least average intelligence, in which case he couldn't possibly be so wrong about basic truths. Well, you would be surprised. You would be surprised at how some people can, in fact, be at least average intelligence, as you say, and yet be so wrong about so many things. I've said this about Howard. Number one, Howard is he's a good sport, right? He comes out, and you have to understand, there's a showmanship thing to what we do at Politics and Pints. It's professional wrestling. Everybody's got a part. And Howard's part, he's the result of our internal WRVA DEI policy, right? We have a liberal. And thank God it's Howard. Because, A, nobody listens to what he has to say, and they know that whatever he's saying is going to be wrong and crazy. But he's also a nice guy. That's what I like about Howard. So does he really believe what he says? Great question. I don't know. I'm with you. Seriously, Harold, in a Short Pump, I'm with you. I don't know if he really believes what he says. Because I don't understand how you could. I don't understand how you could say the things he says and still, well, be living here on planet Earth. I had the pleasure of reminding Howard last night that the last time we did this Politics and Pints thing, he was defending his dear friend Joe Biden. Oh, God, it's disgusting. It's like, look, why don't you two guys get a room and let us know later how it's all working out for you. But he was just crazy. And his ultimate defense of Joe Biden at the last Politics and Pints, anybody else remember this? He said, well, Biden's always been an idiot. I thought, well, there you go. I don't know that I'm hiring Howard to do the eulogy. You know what I mean? Like, well, we're all gathered here to mourn the passing of this guy who, as we all know, has always been an idiot. But there you have it. Jeff, 757, says on the Chronic Care of Richmond text line, 833-804-1140. Jeff, I hope you understand once evil gets to hell, they believe then. But it's a little bit too late. Yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you. 804 says, Jeff, you may want to try and listen to the Dersh Show, Alan Dershowitz's podcast. It's not political per se, but deals with current issues. And he's the old style liberal that was reasonable and logical. And with court cases, he knows his stuff more than talking head hacks. Yes, that's why Alan comes on this program. And you're right. The Dersh Show is actually pretty good. It's Alan sitting around Alan, like I'm buddies. Although I do text back and forth with him. And every time I'm texting with him, I make a point to tell Heidi, oh, I don't know what we're doing right now, but I'm busy. See, I'm texting with Professor Dershowitz. All right, I got it. I got it. Very good. But yeah, I'm telling you what, I love texting with him. He's brilliant. Let's see. In reference to Bret Baier's interview last night, I found it revealing that Kamala Harris unanswered all of Bret's questions, yet she stated that the reason for her 3.5 years of unproductivity. Non-productivity was because of President Trump. Well, my take on that is, if he is that powerful over your entire staff and the entire Democrat Party, they might as well be president because he already has the power. That's Mark and Midlothian. That's a good point. Wow. Let me see here, Jeff. You were so right about the couple of months post-election. Remember what damage Biden did on his first day in office. So just think of him with unbridled power to secure his legacy with the left. Scary knowing his instability. That's Mike in 757. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's absolutely true. I think it's absolutely true. Jeff, Howard might be a good guy, but he is a total hypocrite. He has never, ever challenged or been critical of his side. Well, that's true. You have integrity and will call out your side. Howard does not. That's Dave. Huh. That's a good point. You know, that is a good point. I don't think I've ever heard Howard question anybody on his side of the aisle. Now, that may be because, you know, Howard's a swamp dweller. That's where he made his money. Howard is inside the Beltway to the max. That's what he did. That's what he does. But again, I got to tell you, just on a personal basis, I like the guy. I really do. I like him a lot. 434 says, Jeff, looked at the picture of Julia. Of course she's beautiful. Just as you and Heidi are the greatest of caretakers. God bless you, Graham. Graham, thank you very much. I don't know. Well, Heidi is. I'm not sure about me being the greatest of caretakers, but I'm doing the best I can. And some days that's better than others, right? 414, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. 422, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is Friday Eve, yeah. Anybody want to explain to me what's going on, like, out at Langley? I'm going to ask Rob Whitman about this. Congressman Rob Whitman in a couple of moments. He'll be here at 4:35. Wait, like a whole bunch of drones or planes or something circling and flying all over Langley in Northern Virginia. And I have no confidence. I'm going to tell you right now, I have exactly no confidence in this administration doing a damn thing about it. Right? How long do we have the Chinese balloon flying across America? Like it was on a freaking vacation taking its time, stopping here, went to see the biggest ball of twine, whatever it was. China's on tour. And everything was fine. It's nonsense. It's absolute nonsense. So maybe Congressman Rob Whitman will have a little insight on that. I want you to take a listen to cut number five. This was probably the singularly best exchange.
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Between Kamala Harris and Bret Baier last night on Fox News. Cut number five.
Frankly, exhausted of Bret.
More than 70% of people tell the country is on the wrong track. They say the country is on the wrong track. If it's on the wrong track, that track follows 3.5 years of you being vice president and President Biden being president. That is what they're saying, 79% of them. Why are they saying that? If you're turning the page, you've been in office for 3.5 years.
And Donald Trump has been running for office.
But you've been the person holding the office.
Come on. Madam Vice President. You and I both know what I'm talking about. You and I both know what I'm talking about.
I actually don't. What are you talking about?
What I'm talking about is that over the last decade, people have become.
You're the lever of
power. But listen, over the last decade, it is clear to me, and certainly the Republicans who are on stage with me.
What's clear to you? I don't think there's anything on God's green earth that's clear to you. And there's not a flippant thing that you've ever said that's clear to me. But other than that, you seem like a lovely lady. I still come back to this idea. She is either drunk, stoned, or stupid. I don't like any of the options, by the way. I really don't. None of them inspire any sort of confidence. But everybody keeps saying, Jeff, you need an option number four. You need option D. All of the above. people convinced that she started with stupid and then ingested substances to make herself drunk and high. God, I hope that's not true. I really do. I really do. I would really, really, really like to think that somehow, some way, I just don't understand what it is that she is saying. What it is that I need to know that, you know, she knows. And I'm telling you, I'm not the smartest guy in the room. I'm here with my senior executive producer, Pixie, an 11-pound chihuahua with three teeth, and I'm still not the smartest guy in the room. But even I can see that she's not up to the job. Tell you who is, though, Congressman Rob Whitman. He'll be with us at 4:35. 4:26, Jeff Katz, News Radio WRBA. 4:35, Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. It is a Friday Eve. Lots of great stuff going on. And we're all sort of coming down off our big politics and pints event last night. And I don't want to just belabor the point. But I know there's some people going, well, Jeff, I didn't go. Well, you should go. No, seriously, like, honest to goodness, next time, make sure that you go to Politics and Pints. That's all. Not quite sure where it's going to be, but it is always worth attending. We're, what, 19 days out from the election? The Democrats, Kamala Harris, man, just every time she opens her mouth, there are more people that are left scratching their head saying, I have no idea what she's talking about. And that's okay. That's fair, because she doesn't know what she's talking about. But I think you and I agree. We've got a country to save. And there are some good folks running. Obviously, I think most of us who are part of this program are on board with President Trump. But I mean locally. We got some great members of Congress. We've got to step up to the plate. We've got to make sure that they are returned to the House. One of them happens to be Rob Whitman, does an amazing job of representing our first congressional district in our beloved Commonwealth. Rob, I appreciate you being here, sir.
Jeff, it's great to be back with you, and you're right. The events like Politics and Pints is a good place to be able to have a little bit of banter and a little bit of great beverage. So
that's exactly right. That, and you know, we were trying to convince some of the other folks that were coming. We start with politics. Other people were like, we should start with the pints. It's like, man, you never get to the politics, then, right?
That's right. Yeah,
it would just go all right off the tracks. I got to ask you right off the bat, Rob, and I know you got a lot of stuff we're going to cover, but what exactly is going on? Like around Langley in Northern Virginia, are these drones? Is China up to something? Have you heard about this?
Yeah, I went there right after that occurred. It was actually last December, Jeff, and it was for an extended period of time, much longer than it should have been, to get a brief from the base commander, to get a brief from the Northern Command, which is responsible for protecting our key military installations. And I have to say, I was bitterly disappointed by a lack of decision making, and I think the base commander did everything that he could, but there was indecision by folks above him on what needed to be done. And a lot of it's classified, but I can tell you, and they said, well, hobbyists or, you know, potentially somebody else. Listen, the level of this happening to me precludes a hobbyist. Remember, if you go to the store and you buy a drone, those drones are pre-programmed not to be able to fly into that airspace. Now, listen, you can hack them and have them not fly, but I can tell you one thing, everything there, and again, you know, just from the non-classified side, everything there would lead one to look at it and go, there's more to this than what maybe some are alleging. And I can tell you, I've been out to NORTHCOM and to the Air Force and to the base command there at Langley in the classified space to get the briefing there, and it is hair-raising as to what happened then. And then the lack of immediate response, right? Because I think whoever's doing this, you know, isn't necessarily doing it for effect. They're doing it to probe and figure out what is the reaction of the United States military on a critical base where you have critical operations. So all of those things are there. You know, I can't share a whole lot more than that, but I will say this to everybody that, you know, sans the classified side of things, all the things that I heard concerned me deeply. And what concerned me the most was the lack of an immediate action on this and a hesitancy that I think just sends a signal of weakness. And that's not what we need to be doing now.
Well, Rob, I mean, all we have to go back to, and again, I know part of this is classified, and I'm not asking you to get into that, but we watched this balloon, this hot air balloon meander its way across America, over military bases, every state. At first, the White House was like, it was like Alfred E. Newman, balloon, what balloon? I don't know about a balloon. You know, where? What are you talking about? It just seems like China is emboldened by the weakness we see from the White House.
Yeah, it is. And the lack of action there. Remember, a lot of these things, I think, you know, China is very, very focused on what they're doing. There's none of this stuff is just haphazard. These things are very specific about what they hope to learn from this. And their learning curve is, what is the United States' reaction? And we had an opportunity, first of all, to sense this balloon very early on. We had an opportunity to take it out well before it reached any of these critical facilities that it flew over in the United States. And why we didn't do that is questioning to me. And for someone to say, oh, we wanted to let it fly over so we could learn something, I'm like, let me tell you, the Chinese learned a whole lot more on what they were able to look at, more than we would ever learn with what they're doing. And then we let it go all the way across the United States until it got off the Atlantic coast before we shot it down. It's just counterintuitive, Jeff, that is not a signal of strength to the Chinese. It's a signal of weakness. It's a signal of, oh gosh, we're too uncertain about what we should do to even take action. And let me tell you, I believe that informs them as to what they could potentially do, not in a balloon flying over the United States or in any other circumstance, but it will certainly inform them on what they see as the reaction to an effort to go after Taiwan, and whether it's a blockade or whether it's a cyber attack or whether it's a kinetic attack. You know, China's learning from that. They're watching what's happening in Ukraine. They're watching what the United States does every minute of every day, and it informs their future actions, I believe.
Well, you mentioned Taiwan. You have been, for my money, the number one guy in the House talking about the existential threat coming from China. They're looking for weaknesses. They're probing for weaknesses. Their economy, it seems, is imploding, according to my buddy Dr. Dave Bratt. And they're looking, I think, for a way to kind of take attention away from that. Are we now closer to China trying to grab Taiwan?
Well, you know, what concerns me about that is folks look at it and go, oh, it's good that China is struggling with its economy. It's good that there's this turmoil there. I would argue it's not. Mm-hmm. I would argue it actually makes China a more dangerous nation, because this sort of unrest creates a desperation with Xi, who is all about hanging on to power. Yeah. And if you look at that nation and you look at how the population is aging, if you look at its economy, if you look at the number of individuals there of military age, and as the level of desperation goes up, you know, I think more and more in the mindset of Xi, who is about holding on to power, yep, you know, more and more the effort is to say, well, maybe now's the time for us to distract and have this effort to retake Taiwan, and all of a sudden have a rallying cry for the country. And as your population ages, you're only going to have so much of a window with these large population of military age individuals there that can actually, you know, prosecute this. So I think desperation actually puts the world in a more dangerous place. So I'm not particularly enamored with China being weaker. I think it actually is more dangerous for us when that happens.
Wow. Congressman Rob Whitman is joining us. Rob is, without question, one of the good guys up there in D.C., and God bless him for taking up the mantle and going up there. I have to ask you about the economy, Rob, because, you know, we had the Fed with half a point. They cut it, their interest rate, and all sorts of good things were going to happen. Mortgage rates are up 3 weeks in a row, which would indicate there are people on the sidelines going, oh, you guys do not have this inflation thing under control.
Yeah, I think there are a lot of indicators, Jeff, that it should be concerning to people. Now, the question is, you know, are they repeating themselves? But, you know, some of the economic indicators there show that there are some challenges for the economy. I think the inflationary pressures are still there. And the challenge for the Fed is, you know, if you continue to be aggressive in bringing down interest rates, does that precipitate recessionary pressures? So either of those scenarios are just not good scenarios. And I would argue early on the Fed was way too slow in reacting to what were early indicators of inflationary pressures, and then had to really ramp interest rates up in ways that were probably too much too fast. And now they're trying to find the right mixture of things as they're trying to bring down rates.
Yep.
And another thing, too, that plays into this, and Congress has to be able to address this, and that is the level of debt and deficit. And, you know, the Fiscal Responsibility Act did a little tiny bit to start to bend the spending curve down.
Yep.
But my goodness, we've got a long ways to go. And remember, you know, it's not just getting appropriations bills done. I'd like to get them done before the end of the year. But remember, we have a debt ceiling debate that's going to go on, you know, right around the first of the year. So we have another, you know, another crescendo of these different issues Congress has to address. All of them affect our economy. So there's a whole lot of different things. I did a town hall recently at the Richmond Federal Reserve, and the director there, Tom, said the number one question he gets traveling around his region is the deficit and the debt. So that does have an impact on our economy also, because when the government has to borrow that much money, it impacts the private economy, period.
Well, I don't know. This printing of money, I don't think, is going to work out all that well in the long run. But that's just me.
No.
I'm not an economist. I got to run, Rob, but I've got to ask you this out question. We know that the new president gets inaugurated on January the 20th. You just mentioned, though, this big debate about the deficit and funding and all the rest of it around the first of the year. When is the new House inaugurated?
Well, the new House is sworn in just after the first of the year, so we'll get to work then.
Okay.
And of course, right after the election, both parties will meet and they'll go through their leadership election, so we know who the future leader is going to be. But ultimately, when Congress is seated right after the first of the year, you know, the first order of business is to elect the speaker. So I think that's the first charge for us. Hopefully, as we keep the majorities to get that done, and then really get on track about getting this nation back underway. Listen, I am very bullish on President Trump going back into our nation's key leadership role as our president. And I think that he will be no nonsense about the things that he seeks to do to get our economy back on track, to secure the border, to ensure our national security. And he has to have a Congress that's there ready to and willing to work with him. So I'm anxious to have a greater majority in the House and a majority in the Senate. And I think with that, we can really get our nation where it needs to be.
I love it. Well, listen, you know, I think the world of you. I think the world of your team. And I'm looking forward to another two-year term for you. And my fervent hope is that my friend John McGuire joins you in the House. And we've got some reasonable conservatives doing the right thing by America. So I'm hopeful.
Well, Jeff, I appreciate that. I encourage everybody to get out and vote. Would love to have their support. But most importantly, you know, just get out and vote. This is an incredibly important time, and I think if they do that, you know, we'll be, you know, very focused on what we need to get done. That is, you know, the voters sending me back, and I never take that for granted. So I really value people's support, and just want to make sure that they get out and vote.
No doubt about it. Rob, I appreciate you being here. That is Congressman Rob Whitman, represents the 1st District in our beloved Commonwealth. If you are in that 1st District, I'm just telling you, because Rob was my congressman for years, a great guy, a solid guy, a reliable conservative, an intelligent dude who, God bless him, has decided he will fight the fight in D.C. I would have given up, seriously. I don't know if I'd be banging my head against the wall. But Rob's done, and we appreciate it. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRV. 451, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. We got our buddy Dr. Keith Abloh joining us at 5:35. I am curious to know what the good doctor made of the Kamala Harris performance last night. Ah! It was priceless, and it was pathetic all at the same time, which is difficult, you know? You'd like to think that your performance is going to be solid. Not every day is a stellar day. That's just the reality of it, right? And if you talk for a living, which in theory is kind of sort of what politicians do when they're running for office, you're not hitting a home run every single time. It would be nice if you did. If you're a broadcaster, it'd be nice if you hit a home run every single time. It's a little bit easier in the podcast space because if you swing and miss, you just, well, you fix it in post-production. You record it again. It's no biggie. You're doing it live each and every day, whether it's 3 hours or 4 hours. You don't always hit that home run. I get it. So when I tell you I'm very sensitive to those politicians who maybe have great policies, great ideas, they're great administrators, they're great behind the scenes, but you put them in front of a camera or a microphone, like, nah, not my thing, not my thing. When Kamala Harris sits down with a friendly, supportive interviewer and she whiffs, that's bad for her. I think it's okay for the rest of us because we just kind of look at it, listen to it, observe it, and say, okay, well, yeah, she's a loser. She's a total loser. There's just nothing going on there. Sometimes I look at her, I'm thinking she's got like that, like the Homer Simpson little cartoon guy inside her head. She's got no idea what's going on. Which would be okay if she were vice president. Because as vice president, the only job responsibility you have is hanging around so that you're available if the president dies. Other than that, it's a pretty good gig. I wouldn't mind being vice president. I don't want to be president. It's too much work. Vice president's great. Stand around. Hey, you travel a little bit here. You got an office. You got some stationery. You got a staff that, I don't know, walks around and tells you how great you are or whatever. But there's not a lot to do. But now she says, no, I'm the person for the big job. Okay. Well, that you're going to have to prove to me. And thus far, I will say you have not done that. Not even close. Even last night at Politics and Pints. If you were there, you know what I'm talking about. If you weren't, oh, shame on you. You better be the next Politics and Pints. But you could listen to my friend Howard, right? I like Howard. I like him a lot. But he's full of crap. Now, you can still like people who are full of crap. I realized that a long time ago. You just have to understand who they are and what they are. And you kind of compartmentalize them into that. And then you can deal with it. It's not the end of the world. If you know somebody, as an example, is, a chronic liar. Well, you know not to believe them, right? I don't know. I'm not saying Howard's a liar. I'm just saying he's full of crap. Because I'm confused. Does he believe what he's saying? Does he not believe what he's saying? It's bizarre. Tomorrow morning at 6, would you do me a favor? Make sure you're listening to John Reed. And next week, I'm going to tell you, we got Kevin Sorbo coming on. You know, John is the guy behind the Virginia Council. Great organization, man. TheVirginiaCouncil.org. TheVirginiaCouncil.org. And they are doing these great speakers as part of their speaker series. Oh, man, just they are hitting it out of the park. Kevin Sorbo is coming to town. I think it's next week, right? Couple of tickets remain. I don't know if they have any VIP tickets left. So if you're interested, go to thevirginiacouncil.org. But Kevin Sorbo is going to be with us next week. I want to talk a little bit about what it is like to be a conservative in Hollywood. It's got to be difficult. It really does. But somehow he's made it, and he's coming here to the Central Virginia area. I don't know if they talk about the location ahead of time. So I'll just say he's going to be here, and you're definitely, definitely going to want to get your tickets. I think it's going to be great stuff. Great stuff tomorrow morning, 6 a.m. Gary Hess does a tremendous job on our news side, right? Gary and Charlie Pyle, call him whatever you want. He's a good, solid reporter. Miss Huffman is doing a wonderful job joining the team as well. So I think we got good people in place. But anyway, tomorrow morning, 6 a.m., Gary Hess kicks it off with the news, and then it's John Reed for 4 hours. Make sure you're here for all of it. 4:56, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. 5:05, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is a Friday Eve. It is chilly. It's down to 61 degrees. And yes, I do believe it's cold. That's all I'm going to say. Very, very, very happy to be chatting with our pal Dr. Keith Abloh just about a half hour from now. Next week, we got some amazing stuff coming up. Some of the stuff I can't even tell you because we're just getting stuff locked in. I will tell you, Kevin Sorbo is going to be here next week. He's coming in for John's group, the Virginia.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Council, they do have some tickets left. I do not know. Do not know whether there are any VIP tickets left. So that's why I'm urging you, head on over to thevirginiacouncil.org. Jeff. John from New Kent says on the Chronic Care of Richmond text line, 833-804-1140, 833-804-1140. Jeff, there are dozens of 20-foot drones flying 100 miles an hour. Sure sounds like hobbyists to me. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. 757, I think Brett asked, what are you talking about? She didn't expect him to come back with that question. It was just a nervous laugh from Harris. That was all, 757 says, after Brett asked her, what do you mean? Can we, let's play that little snippet, shall we, Germ?
Exhausted of Brett.
More than 70% of people tell the country is on the wrong track. They say the country is on the wrong track. If it's on the wrong track, that track follows 3.5 years of you being vice president and President Biden being president. That is what they're saying, 79% of them. Why are they saying that? If you're turning the page, you've been in office for 3.5 years.
And Donald Trump has been running for office.
But you've been the person holding the office.
Come on. Madam Vice President. You and I both know what I'm talking about. You and I both know what I'm talking about.
I actually don't. What are you talking about?
What I'm talking about is that over the last decade, people have become. But listen. Over the last decade, it is clear to me, and certainly the Republicans who are on stage with me.
Okay. Well, guess what? I'm with Brett Baer. I don't have a freaking clue what the woman is talking about. I don't. And I'm not saying that to be nasty. I'm saying it to be honest. I don't know what it is that she's talking about. And I get the sense a lot of the time when she's talking, she does not know what she's talking about. Let me give you a little counterpoint to this. Over on CNN, you've got, Brian Steltler, Mr. Potato Head, is back. I think they rehired him, right? Like, he's back there now for good or for real or for now? I don't know. For the foreseeable future? Let's take a listen to this. Cut number one.
Brian, just not that Twitter is real life ever, but
no,
looking at it seemed like a Rorschach test right from the beginning.
Yes.
of how people were going to see, did she crush it? Did she blow it? What was the outcome of the interview?
I think Trump refused to debate Kamala Harris again, so Harris did the next best thing. She booked a debate on Fox News, and that's what this was tonight. She essentially walked into a Trump campaign field office because anchor Brett Baer, who is a solid journalist. He is also incredibly sympathetic to Trump because that's what his fans want. That's what his viewers want. His viewers want him to represent the Trump point of view. So it was almost as if you had a Trump surrogate interviewing Kamala Harris. And look, adversarial interviews are a good thing. We should root for them. We should want more of them. You know, you're so fantastic at adversarial interviews where we challenge newsmakers and we get answers out of them. But yes, this was a Rorschach test. Some people think Baer was mansplaining. Other people think Harris is filibustering. I think at the end of the day, this was all about one word, the word tough. It showed that Harris was tough. She went into the so-called Fox Den, and that's how Harris's campaign is promoting it tonight. They're saying she went into the Fox Den and look what happened.
Tough. Uh-huh. Look, Brian, I realize that you're a very, very delicate little flower. So you think everything is tough. She was tough. She was clueless, dude. It was adversarial. You know, that's what they want over there. That's what his fans want. Well, Brian, you would feel the same way if, in fact, you had any fans. You have a handful of sycophants, and you have a collection of other bottom feeders there with you on that set as you're doing this little get-together. And by the way, you know, the name in that place is X. It's not Twitter. Guy bought it. Now, you may hate Elon Musk, go ahead, but Elon Musk bought it, and he renamed it. It is now X. Well, you know, we're going to call it Twitter. Well, that doesn't make any sense, does it? Are you buying Nissan products today, or are you still out shopping for a Datsun? Because Nissan was always Nissan, but they operated in certain places as Datsun, and then they decided, we're just going to be Nissan everywhere. Oh, I like the old name. Well, that's fine. But you do have to come to a point where you simply admit the truth, right? The truth is you can't buy a Datsun anymore. And the truth is that Twitter doesn't exist anymore. And the truth is that boys are boys and girls are girls, and they always will be. That's what Mr. Rogers said. Mine's not really fancy. Look, Fred, if I can call you Fred, I appreciate the vote of confidence. My body's not fancy. But I'm a boy. I mean, that's just the way it is, right? The way it is. Oh, I got an update on Hanukkah and Christmas this year. I know people are waiting with bated breath on that, but I didn't know when Hanukkah was this year. I think it's because my kids are older now, right? So, I don't know. I'm assuming Harry will be back from California for the holidays. Joe, I don't know. Around that time, he might actually be headed back to upstate New York. I don't know. But down there at emilysbracelets.com, Emily Morrissey International, they do have a full research staff. And their chief researcher sent me a note and said, Jeff, Hanukkah this year is actually December the 26th. I love that. I remember the way this works. And there was a time when I didn't really have a lot of money. So I loved years like this because I would be living somewhere else. Let's say, you know, it was one of the times I lived in California. And I would get Hanukkah gifts for the family. But I loved it when it worked out so that Hanukkah came after Christmas. You know why? Because all the stuff had already gone on sale. I could buy it after Christmas. It's half the price. I wrap it up. I ship it back to Florida. And they just think I'm the greatest son of all time. And the most wonderful brother. I love that. Thankfully, I'm not in that situation now. Honest to goodness. If you are, I don't know, if you're 50 years old, and still, like, oh, my God, I don't have any money. You got a problem. Again, not to be nasty, but that's why I have Carl Carlson on the air every Monday. Right? People have this image. They talk about retirement. Well, you know, you got to be so many years old to retire. Okay, maybe. But you can be any years old to be financially independent. And that's what you want. You want to have enough assets under your management so that you can say, yeah, I don't really want to do that. Or, oh my gosh, that's exactly what I want to do. You don't have to be 62, 65, 67, 71 and a half and all that other nonsense. And if you've got kids, man, you tell them now. You're 18 years old, you have no idea what it's going to be like in however many years. So you take whatever you can, and I mean this from the bottom of my heart, you take whatever you can and you put it into a plan of some sort. You get with somebody like a Carl Carlson and you say, here's how much I need to live on. And if you are factoring in eating Uber Eats every night, then you have a problem already. If you are going out to dinner every night, then you have a problem. You have got to factor it properly, but you start as young as you can. And then you get to a point where you're 35 or 40 or 50, and you look at the balance sheet and you go, you know, I'm going to go skiing in the winter, and I'm going to go sailing in the summer. And I don't have to worry about any of that pesky work in between. Probably a good place to be. All right, I'm thinking it's a good time to break. 5:15, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRBA. 5:22, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRBA. It is a Friday Eve. We got our pal, Dr. Keith Ablow, going to be joining us at 5:35. I just got some great news from the home office. We're ordering pizza for dinner this evening. Thank you, everybody. That is a good, no, it's the beginning of a good night. Heidi and Julia have both been, to put it mildly, under the weather. And I've been doing my best to sort of dodge the germs. You know what I mean? We've got two levels, so I've been on the lower level, and they've been on the upper level. And then Joe and Emily have been, like, on one side over here. And it was kind of, well, so, I don't know. I think everybody's on the mend, and nobody feels like cooking, so that's a nice thing. And you remember Kamala Harris when she said, I would never say that somebody was stupid, right? Because that's, honestly, that's where I am. I don't want to say she's stupid. I don't. Because the woman went to law school. She graduated law school. She passed the bar exam, for goodness sakes. I don't think she's stupid. Now, I do wonder if she's intoxicated or under the influence of something else. I don't know. But I don't want to say she's stupid. Cut number four.
So are they misguided, the 50%? Listen, are they stupid? What is it?
God, I would never say that about the American people.
What else do we know about this population, 18 through 24? They are stupid.
Okay. Well, there you go. There you go. I would never say that people are stupid. Oh, hang on a second. Here's a recording of me saying people are stupid. Are there any other issues at play right now? Remember what the rundown was yesterday, the day before the new things came out? Number one is the economy. Number two is inflation. Number three is immigration. Number four is crime. Now, one and two and three and four, in many ways, really, are the same issue. So there are two big issues in play right now. How much is it costing you when you go to the grocery store? That's the biggest issue for all of us. The biggest issue for every single solitary person living in the United States of America today. How much does it cost me when I go to the grocery store? How much does it cost me when I go to fill up my car or my truck with gas? And can I afford to do that? It's a really difficult time, right? Remember now, if your employer, let's say you are employed by someone or a company or whatever, if your employer has not provided you with a 20% increase in your salary over the last 4 years, you are making less today than you were then. And if you are 100% dependent on that job, you are totally Scrooged. It is hurting you every time you try and buy groceries, every single time you try and get fuel for your vehicle. And the immigration issue, the crime issue, it's one and the same. Violent criminal gangs have broken into the United States. Well, actually, they haven't broken in. They've been welcomed in. They're committing terrible acts of violence against Americans. And the legacy news media says, oh, it wasn't all that many crimes that were committed. Well, any more than one. And I say it's way too many. 526, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. 5:35, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is a Friday Eve. It is chilly, as far as I'm concerned. It's 60 degrees. My my friend, Dr. Keith Ablow, is in my other beloved Commonwealth of Massachusetts, I'm sure, is hearing 60 degrees, and I'm complaining about how cold it is, and he's laughing. No, he is. He's laughing. He's mocking me. I guarantee you that, because I shouldn't be complaining. And I don't believe my parents, or, you know, when they were alive, your blood gets thinner. The older you get, the blood gets thinner. And, of course, they moved to Florida, because that's the law. You have to do that. But 60 degrees, and I am absolutely feeling like I'm sitting on a block of ice. Dr. Keith Ablow, who I know is safely ensconced in Newburyport, where are you even in the double digits right now, Keith?
Yeah. It's a little chilly outside.
Yeah?
It's beyond sweater weather. It's kind of sweater and light jacket weather, at least.
Oh, wow. Yeah, you know, Heidi, earlier today, I was complaining about the weather, and she turned to me, and in her best accent, because her mother sounds exactly like the Gorton's fisherman, she said, well, you know, it's sweater weather. And I was like, huh, yeah, it's wicked cold, I know, right?
There you go. And you said safely ensconced in Newburyport, Mass. But, of course, it isn't safe for any conservative, for any thinking person to be in Massachusetts.
God, why don't you look, you got options, man. Either put a moat around that place of yours or come here to another commonwealth where we will happily have you. Those are your options.
Put a moat around this place or a moat around Elizabeth Warren's house so that she can't get out. Maybe she can't go vote on things.
No kidding. Is she, by the way, I you mentioned her, is she getting crazier? Because, I mean, she's always been Meshuggah, but man, it's like Meshuggah plus now. She's going further and further and further to the left.
Yeah, she is going further and further to the left. And she also, you know, was single-handedly obstructing, like, one of the greatest technologies to ever be developed, like Bitcoin and cryptocurrency that could bring some honesty
right
to things like the monetary system, and, you know, she's out there trying to stop it, well, because one could argue, you know, she's not on the side of truth.
Right. That's right.
No, yeah. She's not on the side of truth.
Definitely not. She's definitely not on the side of truth. Isn't that? Don't you think that's sort of a common trait, though, for leftists? Kamala Harris last night. I don't know if you had a chance to watch her her latest meltdown with Bret Baier. She didn't come within a mile of the truth in that little chat.
It was, you know, I'm trained in, psychotherapeutic maneuvers, and I try to maintain a sense of equanimity.
Yeah.
But I felt my pulse rising.
Yeah.
I was up out of my seat. I couldn't believe it. I wanted to scream at the TV, answer the question.
Yep.
Right? It complete unwillingness to address the actual questions. Just saying nonsensical things like he's not on the ballot, this, that. Brett, you and I both know. And finally he said, well, no, I don't.
No, I know.
Like, I actually don't know what you're saying.
What is it in her, though, Keith? Because, I watched it and we're laughing about it, but she said it. I mean, I don't think she's a stupid person, but she said it. Does she really believe the garbage that she's spewing, or is there some disconnect somewhere, one synapse is not firing or something?
Well, I think it is a common trait amongst progressives and Democrats in general, because the party's been hijacked, that they don't assume that others have this nearly the level of intelligence that they do.
Mm-hmm.
And they believe that half-truths, non-answers, and denial will get them through, which is a really cynical perspective, but it's essential for Democrats to have that perspective. Is essential in order for them to believe that they should run your life because you're an idiot.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right, and that's definitely the way they see it, that you're like not sensible, not capable, not autonomous. They have to run your life. Therefore, what they tell you, you should believe because you don't have discernment.
So just so we're all clear, I want to remind everybody, Dr. Keith Abloh is joining us. KeithAbloh.com is the website, and he is he's a true renaissance man. I mean, he's just is a brilliant guy, and there's so much available when we talk about Keith and KeithAbloh.com. But your assertion then, Keith, is that they start every exchange, every interaction, every conversation from a grounding point on their side that says, whoever's in front of them, I am smarter than that person.
Absolutely. Okay. That they are smarter than that person because there is this filter. They assume that they don't need to say things that are going to pass as rational and that are going to register with sensible, intelligent people as something approximating a real answer or the truth. So you have someone saying about the border, which they've left open and allowed to be overrun by some good people and some criminals.
That's right.
And many people who may end up trying to vote illegally. They've done that. And her answer to that is, listen, I'm the only one who has prosecuted cases against drug kingpins. What? Well, you're the only prosecutor. There are only two people running, I mean, with a chance to win. And yeah, you were a prosecutor, but, like, how is that relevant? You're the only one to, I'm the only one to, like, wash my particular color and make of car who's running, too.
Yep, you're right. Right. Well, and you know what, Keith? I throw a flag on that one because she talks consistently about how she's the only one who's ever prosecuted, quote, transnational criminal organizations. Now, I don't know how to break it to her. She's never prosecuted a transnational criminal organization because she's never been a U.S. attorney or an assistant U.S. attorney. The DA in Alameda doesn't do that. The DA
That's
in
right.
San Francisco, heck, the Attorney General of California doesn't do that.
Man, exactly. And who did she prosecute? Well, she prosecuted a lot of people who used marijuana and put them in jail while she was using marijuana.
Yeah.
But her little pithy answer to that, all giggly, with a radio talk show host when asked, well, what's the difference between you using marijuana and the people you put in jail?
Yes.
She said, well, I didn't get caught.
Ugh.
That's the only honest thing I can think she's ever said.
Yeah. And do you think that was intentional, or was that like one of those inadvertent Freudian slips?
I think it was, it was a moment of transparency.
Yeah.
Where, you know, but isn't that could be sort of their rallying cry, the Democrats. Well, what about this insider trading that you guys do?
Yeah.
When you're elected officials in the Senate or the House of Representatives? Well, we don't get caught.
That's right. That's right. It is such an insult to every single American. It really is, regardless of what the crime might be, the offense, the bad behavior. It is just absolutely insulting. And because they're devoid of any sense of honor or dignity, they just they spew it out there, and you know, then they order a sandwich. I mean, life goes on for them.
And I'd have more respect for them.
Yeah.
If really, I would. If they said, listen, we're hell-bent on creating a single world government.
Mm-hmm.
Countries that do their own bidding, and particularly the most successful of them, are our enemies.
Right.
Because it suggests that they may continue to do that.
That's right.
And we really want to dissolve all folks into one entity and then run it. And be all-powerful beings at the top of that Politburo or whatever it might be.
Uh-huh.
And then I would at least say, all right, that's honest.
Yeah. 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 You know what? I'm with you, Keith. If they would at least have that shred of integrity, but, you know, I don't think either one of us is going to hold our breath waiting for it to show up. I want people, Keith, to get a copy of the whole Learn the Lessons from Trump book. Do me a favor. Remind everybody about this great book that you wrote, the title, and where the best place is for them to get it.
The best place is Amazon because it's the most convenient place, because how many people are going to come to Newburyport, knock on my door, and get a signed copy? And it's Trump Your Life.
Trump your
But if people do come and knock on the door, they will get a signed copy.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you what. In the spring, when you thaw out, I would head north to Newburyport. Or, again, I remind you, head south. Bring a signed copy. We'll have a place for you.
I will come and see you there. And then you can repay that visit and come here. But I'll bring you a signed copy of Trump Your Life and sit with you in your majestic studio.
I love it. Keith, I appreciate you being here, brother. That is Dr. Keith Abloh. Check him out online, keithabloh.com. And again, get a copy of Trump Your Life. These are life lessons from President Donald Trump. Now, you may like him, you may love him, you may hate him, but you can learn a lot from him, and you'll get a copy of the book, Trump Your Life, at amazon.com. 545, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRBA. 550, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRBA. It is a Friday Eve, tomorrow morning, 6 a.m. John Reed is going to be here. Did I hear him say that he's got Governor Glenn Youngkin on? Fantastic. You don't want to miss that. Two of my favorite people, Governor Glenn Youngkin and John Reed. No, John did not announce last night if he's running for lieutenant governor. I don't know. What have I said continually? If he announces that he is, in fact, running for lieutenant governor, then I will fully, completely, totally support him. That means more than me just saying I fully, totally support him. I will absolutely make a monetary donation to him. Totally will. But he hasn't announced anything yet, and he didn't announce it last night. Maybe tomorrow. Maybe tomorrow's the day for it. Do you remember Don Lemon? Don Lemon, who left CNN in disgrace and then was... What was he on? He was on X for, was it a full hour? And then it was done. Now he's just doing these little videos. I don't know if he's posting them on TikTok or where it is, but he needs attention, apparently. A little bit of love and a little bit of attention. Take a listen to the latest garbage from him. Cut number two.
I think those young men of all ethnicities are listening to media now, and the media doesn't necessarily mean, as we call, quote, mainstream media or corporate media, although some of them are, but they're listening to digital, streaming, podcasts, all of this. And in that ecosystem, everything is pretty much to the right. either center right or far right. And so black men and Latino men are listening to the same sort of media BS that white men in general are listening to. And let's not forget the elephant in the room, right? I don't mean the Republicans at this point, but I do, is sexism, is misogyny. Men feel that they're being left behind, especially by women. They're resentful of it. And whether you want to believe that or not, it is a real thing, right? So the whole issue that has come up over the weekend since Barack Obama, you know, gave his speech in Pennsylvania, I believe it was on Thursday night, and then went to a black voter summit and spoke out about what's going on. Yes, thank you, Tink 66. I agree with you. I did see that. But there's even beyond what Roland did on his program. This goes even beyond that. So ever since Barack Obama, you know, did his speech or spoke to folks at the Black Voter Summit, basically people feeling he's chastising black men. I think telling the truth, many people don't want to hear it.
I'd like to hear the truth. Oh, hell, Don, I'd like to hear the truth from you, and I don't know that I ever have. Well, black men they're hearing the same stuff as white men. No kidding, dude. We're all living in the real world, except for you. You are, you know, you're one of the special people. You are, well, I don't know exactly what you do for a living these days, but I guess you're okay, right? And so you can sit back and pontificate. There's a lot of pontification that goes on with the left. There really is. And that's because they are firmly convinced they are smarter than everyone else. That is the problem. It's one of the reasons why when you deal with a leftist, you have to understand that you are going to be insulted and demeaned, verbally assaulted. It's just part of the experience. And you can choose just not to be part of the experience, I guess. Say, thanks, I'm not interested in being insulted and demeaned anymore. Right? You could say that. But what if it's your family? What if you're going to Thanksgiving in a couple of weeks? And then, oh, my gosh, you know, I know. First, we're going to talk about sweet potatoes and whether it's sweet potatoes versus yams. But it's not going to stay that way. And you're going to get involved in one of these things. And it's pretty bad. Quick little snippet here from Brett Baer last night. This was absolutely positively the line of the night. Cut number 5.
Frankly, exhausted of Brett.
More than 70% of people tell the country is on the wrong track. They say the country is on the wrong track. If it's on the wrong track, that track follows 3.5 years of you being vice president and President Biden being president. That is what they're saying, 79% of them. Why are they saying that? If you're turning the page, you've been in office for 3.5 years.
And Donald Trump has been running for office.
But you've been the person holding the office.
Come on. Madam Vice President. You and I both know what I'm talking about. You and I both know what I'm talking about.
I actually don't. What are you talking about?
What I'm talking about is that over the last decade.
That's right. I didn't hear any of you. People said that's all you need to hear. No. It's enough.
Listen.
No. Done. That was the line of the night. I feel that way every time she says something about anything. I have no idea what she's talking about. None. I wish I did. I wish there were better folks on her side of the aisle that were willing to stand up and say, hey, I want to be president, and here's why. Right? I'm not talking about the lunatic leftists like her. There are people who are Democrats in the past, anyway, have said, hey, here's why I want to be president. Here's what I want to do. And I'll chat with you on these issues. Now it's a take it or leave it thing. And, you know, guys like Howard Gubman, as an example, guys like Howard Gubman are being left on the wayside. They're the ones that are being kicked to the curb, not me. Right. They're the ones, because Howard thinks that the Democrat Party still wants him. And he doesn't understand that they don't. But he's been in the swamp wallowing in the muck for so long that he probably just can't hear their kicks against him. What are you going to do, right? Tomorrow morning, do yourself a favor. Listen to my friend John Reed starting at 6 a.m. Always, always, always great stuff there. Now, it's going to be cold this evening, so bundle up. As Heidi said, it's sweater weather. Have a fantastic evening. God willing, you and I get the chance to do this again, starting at 3. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.